We have the Von Trapp family singing for us this morning.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Son of God before the world began, and ye who tread where he hath trod, crown him the Son of Man, who every grief hath known that wrings the human breast, and takes and bears them for his own, that all in him may rest. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, which wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified.
Thank you.
our great all-powerful God. We are on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are the key to all the other commandments. The Ten Commandments are the foundation of society. God gave them. These are the ten that God wrote with His finger. Is that right? And He spoke it from heaven. And now He gave all the other commandments to Moses. They're all equal. But these are some great things, and we need to note that when you have the Ten Commandments down, you're going to be doing right, and you're going to be happy. Is that right? You're going to find meaning in life and truth and confidence, and it's going to be fair, and it's going to be just, and it's going to be wonderful. You're doing right. That was true in our early foundings of our country and our founding fathers, and it's a shame we've lost it today. And because unless we have truth, solid truth, we do not have a society of law. And it's just so sad. I'm so glad to be beginning this and to enjoying this first step of our Ten Commandments, and it's wonderful to grasp that and to realize this is good. Everybody turn in your Bibles to our reading here in Exodus 20. Everybody turn to Exodus 20, and we're going to have a reading here. Josh is going to come up and read it for us here. Exodus 20, and we're just in the first commandment. We're not in all ten of them. We're in number one.
We'll be reading Exodus 20, verses 1 to 3, and then we'll jump over to Exodus 34, verses 5 to 10. And if you could all stand for the reading, please. All right, starting Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then Exodus 34, starting in verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste, and he bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee.
Keep your place there in Exodus 34. You may be seated. The word terrible in the King James means what? Awesome. Awesome. It's not bad. It's the highest word. It is wonderful. And this is what God did. Keep your place in Exodus 34. Go with me to Deuteronomy 5. Go with me to Deuteronomy 5. And the Ten Commandments are written in Exodus 20 and then Deuteronomy 5. So let's all go to Deuteronomy 5. And the I Am's here. Let's look at this. The I Am's. Deuteronomy 5, verse 1. And it says, And Moses called all of Israel and said unto them, I love it in Exodus 20, verse 1. It says, And God spake all of these things, saying. Is that right? These are God's laws. These are not man's laws. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them, keep them, and do them to be holy and to be happy. Is that right? To learn them, got to learn them first. Then you got to start obeying them.
And then they got to become a part of your life. That's your habit. You do them. Verse 2, it says, "The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us in Horeb." Moses is referring back to it. Mount Sinai. "And the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive today." This covenant is not just some other covenant. He didn't make it with their fathers. He made it with them. And I want you to take this covenant as a personal covenant. God's telling us how to be happy and holy. And He says, "I'm going to make a covenant. If you do these things, if you obey these Ten Commandments, you will be happy and holy. I'm giving you what life's all about. Teenagers, this is what life's all about. If you obey these, you'll have life." He's not trying to hold something back. This is the rules of life. And He says, if you'll catch that, you will be wonderful. And I made it with you. I didn't make it with them. I made it with you. I like that. Verse 4, it says, "And the Lord talked with you face to face. He spoke from the mountain, and they heard Him as if He was speaking to them face to face." If you will grab your Bible and read it every day, you'll have God speaking to you face to face. I don't think we do that enough. Teenagers, young adults, older adults, God wants to talk to us. He's written it down, so you have to read it. And it's important that we catch it and realize, God wants to talk to me. You know, at school, when I was growing up, I always liked to sleep on my books. Did it help me? No. Had to open them. I want you to know, we have a book here that God has written. And if we would read it with love and sincerity, He will speak to us face to face. Wow. Don't let it ever get old. Verse 5, it says, "I stood between," Moses talking, "between the Lord and you at that time, and to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire." They saw the fire upon the mountain. "And were not up into the mountain," and went not up into the mountain. You were afraid to approach God. I want you to know, we need to get close to God. Now, He is awesome, and He is powerful, and He is fearful, but when He loves you, it's not that way. And so get close to Him. Oh, He's fire. Yes, His fire can burn away our sins. His fire can warm us. Is that right? I'm afraid. No. Approach Him. Verse 6 is the first commandment. I am the Lord. That's the first part. Is the word "I am" a big word in the Bible? If you would take your concordance or jump on your computer and jump into some of the places like Bible Gateway or Bible Hub, you can just jump in there and put in the words "I am." Those are some of the greatest words. Remember when God says, "Who are you?" Moses says, "God, who are you?" He said what? "I am." All it means is eternal. Beginning, the end, I am. I am the only one. And He says, "I am the Lord." That word is always capitalized. See it there in your Bible? It's always capitalized. It's the highest word. It is the word for Jehovah. It is the highest word for God, the Almighty. When the Jews wrote it, they didn't like to even write it. When they did write it, they would change pens and everything. It is the highest word. Many times, they wouldn't even speak the word. It was too holy. It was too high. I am. Wow. Is that right? The Almighty. And I don't think we get Him too big. I don't think we get Him as God Almighty. And let's look at this here. I want you to study this. If you ever like a printout of this, I would be happy to give it to you. This is why we have a God, all these things. He is the lawgiver right here. He is the foundation, okay? He is the ruler. He is the creator. He is the cornerstone. Is that good? He is the source. He is the author. He's the banner. He's the leader. He's the redeemer. Is that good? He's the consuming fire. He's the master. He's the protector. He's the preserver. That's why you have a God. And don't take that lightly. I know these are just words, but why do you have a God? You ever thought about it? And he says, I am that God. I am the only living and true and eternal God. All others are not. And I can do these things. I hope you've experienced that. These are just not words. He is your author. He is your source. Mrs. Chafee has to know that today. Huh? I talked to her on the phone yesterday, and she says, I know that, preacher. God is with me. And that word, just God, has a lot more to it. And it's all of these things. He's my cornerstone. He's my rock. He's my source. He's my protector, my preserver. And He's with me. He is, I am the Almighty, the Creator, the Lord, the God, the only God, the high God. And you need to get the source of God and the strength of God and all of these issues here as your guide, your leader, your redeemer, your shepherd. And He's your consuming fire. Nobody can handle Him. He's master. He's protector. He's the lawgiver. He's the rock. He's the source. He's the cornerstone. He's the provider. Is that... I hope you know Him. That's who He is. Exodus 34, I want us to go there. You're already there. Let's look at it. Exodus 34, it says, And he hewed two stones, the two stones, of stone like unto the first. Moses did that. Moses rose up early into the morning and went up into Mount Sinai. It's on fire. As the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands the two tablets. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there. With him. That's your God. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now here's the name of the Lord. Verse 6. Here's the description of God. The attributes of God. It says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Here's the name of God. If you ever want to know what the name of God means. Here it is. The Lord. The Lord God. Is that right? They're just not repeating. They're just not refilling in. He's the one and only, folks. He's the highest. Merciful. Gracious. Long-suffering. Abundant in goodness and truth. That's the name of God. He's God. That's why you have a God. You need mercy. You don't need justice. You need mercy. You need grace. You don't need punishment. You need patience. Long, is that right? You need patience. Do we need patience? Aren't you glad God's patient with you? Do we all deserve to be struck dead immediately? Ever sin? And He's patient. Wow, that's wonderful. He's patient, and then He's abundant in goodness. He knows how to be good to you, to bless you. He knows, and He's full of truth. You can stand upon it. You can bank upon it. That's God. Verse 7, how long is God going to be? Keeping mercy for thousands. Will He take care of you? He's, wow. Forgiving, this is His name. Forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins. That covers everything. That will by no means clear the guilty. Will He still deal with sin unconfessed? Yes. He's a just God. He's just not a loving God, a merciful. He's just. He's a God that demands justice, and He's holy, so He cannot bear unholiness. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children. Is that what's happening in America today? The sins of the fathers are being reaped by the children, and they're falling into their second generation of sin, third generation of sin. Is that right? Fourth generation of sin. Somebody's got to stop that. Do you know my dad stopped that in my family? Our family was going in the wrong direction. You can't imagine Fishers being wrong, can you? My whole dad's family are aliens, okay? Aliens. And my dad got saved at 27 and turned around and forsook all. They all thought he was crazy and started this direction. Is that right? He started that direction. And he raised us boys that way. And we tried to raise our boys that way. And Andrew, you know what's happening today? Andrew's baptizing Liam today. I wish I could fly over very quick and see it. Okay? He's going to take a picture of it and show me. Tim's starting a church in Warsaw today. Is that cool? And you say, wow. See, that's our boys. And our girls, she's winning the world. And, you know, my dad said, no, we're going to stop doing this and we're going to start this direction. Is that right? And we want to you can do that in your family. You just have to be determined. You realize, I got a God. I got a God that His name is the Lord, verse 6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abundance in goodness and truth, forgiving. Is that right? That's my God. And He's God. I am the Lord. And Moses realized it, verse 8, and bowed his head toward the earth. One translation says he just fell to the earth and worshiped God and said, you're awesome, you're great. Worshiping God would be going through all of this. God, you're my guide, you're my leader, you're my redeemer, you're my master, you're my protector, you're my lawgiver, you're my source, you're my foundation, you're my father, my ruler, provider, my author. Is that right? It's my God. I am the Lord. Huh? Wow. Turn with me to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Everybody turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Probably one of the most famous verses in Isaiah. Flying like an eagle, taking up on eagle's wings. You know the verse. Isaiah 40, verse 31. After you find that, I want you to look at Isaiah 40, verse 10. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. Everybody stay in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Put up Isaiah 40, verse 10. Let me just read it to you. It's awesome. It says, yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. That's our God. See, He brings His reward with Him as He comes. Is Jesus coming? Is He bringing His reward with Him? That's why we live. Here's our God. Who, verse 12, I'm jumping around. Who else has held the oceans in His hands? Nobody. Who has measured off the heavens with His finger? Just figure how big heaven is. He can measure it all with that. Okay, how big God is. Who else knows the weight of the earth? Nobody. Has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale? Nobody. Verse 15, He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. You're supposed to say what? Wow. God, it's something. And it says, who sits upon the circle of the earth? You knew the Bible says it's round, don't you? That's pretty cool. And in your science classes, take this verse with you. Isaiah 40, verse 22. Who sits upon the circle of the earth? Who spreads out the heavens like a curtain? Who judges the great people of the world? Next one. It says, who will you compare me? Nobody. Who is my equal? Nobody. Ask the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He bringeth them out like an army, one after another, calling each of them by name. Does He know all their names? Wow. And it says, because of His great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Verse 28, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weary or weak. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to the weak. He strengthens the powerless. Chapter 41, who has done such mighty deeds, summoning each new generation from the beginning of time all the way to us. Is that right? All the way to us. I love that. It is I, the Lord, the first, the last. I alone am He. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I am the Lord, your Redeemer. I am the Holy One of Israel. You're supposed to say what? Woo! Amen. That's my God. I am the Lord. Let's all read Isaiah 40, verse 31 together. Isaiah 40, verse 31 together. Let's read it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Amen. That's our God. That's our God. I just love it to realize I am the Lord. And then it says this. Let's go to the next one. Go to the next one. I am the Lord thy God. Now, we've settled it. He is God alone. Is that right? Now He wants you to what? He wants to be what? Your God. Your God. My God. That is so neat to have my God and to realize He's my God. How do I know He's my God? He tells them which God He is. I love it right here. Which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Does that say a mouthful? It describes who He is. I am the Lord, thy God. Now let me tell you, I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt, protected you through everything, did the Passover, brought you out and protected you at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's armies couldn't touch you. I opened the Red Sea, brought you through the Red Sea, and then you saw all of Pharaoh's armies come through, and you saw them die in the sea. I am the God that led you all the way to Mount Sinai. When you were thirsty, I gave you to drink. When you were hungry, I gave you manna. I'm the God. I'm your God. I'm your God. I'm your God. And you've seen me. You've experienced me. Mrs. Chafee today is experiencing her God. He's just not the God. He's hers. And I want you to think about that. He's the God that does all of these things. And it's neat to catch all of that and to realize, you know I'm the God. And you know I've taken care of you. And it's all right there. Let's skip this next one. That's Deuteronomy 4. Let's go to the next picture. Let's go to the next picture. Yes, let's get back to this. Now He's your God. He is the God. He's the lawgiver. He's the source. He's the cornerstone. He's the author. And now He's your God. He will deliver you. He will purify you. He will give you light. He will give you peace. He will give you healing. He will defend you. He will be your shepherd now. He will guide you. He will protect you. Is that right? He will keep you. He will comfort you. He will counsel you. Is that right? It's not just the God. He's mine. That's why you have a God. That's why we serve God. That's why we have a Bible. That's why we have church. Because He is the God. And we got to know Him as creator and protector. But He's mine. He gives me peace. He gives me light. He gives me all these things. He gives me strength. I don't have strength. Mrs. Chafee knows these parts that He's the cornerstone. He's the source. He's the creator. He's the author. But right now she's experienced His strength. Is that right? His comfort. That's what she's experienced. Him keeping her. Him redeeming her, Him guiding her, Him preserving her, Him strengthening her. Is that right? It's not just the God. He's mine. Now, which one you want to know? He's the one that's led you all the way from Egypt through all of that mess all the way to Mount Sinai. That's the God. I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. And it's so important that we hit that real hard because that's why we have a God. That's why we need a God. That's why what's a God good for? If He's the Almighty, He's for me. He wants to bless me. He wants to take care of me. I can trust him. When he allows my husband to fall and hit his head on the floor, he's still with me. And he has a plan for me. I don't know it, but he knows what's going on. And I can trust him. And that gives me strength and comfort and peace in the midst of pieces. That's why you have a God. It's wonderful. And the close here, the last part is thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All he's saying here is, love me. That's all he's saying. Since I am the Lord thy God that has taken care of you and will take care of you and will never not take care of you, don't have any others. Don't have. Now next week we're going into idolatry and other gods, so I'm not going to go into that area. And the area is before me. All he's saying is, I am God alone. Is that right? Alone. Big word. And all he's really saying is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. Put that one up. To love me. And it's so important that we catch that. To love the Lord your God. Was that the key? Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment? What did he say? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That's the key. And that's the first commandment. And he says, I am, and then I'm yours. Now, let me be yours. You know, I want a relationship. Let me have that relationship. Love me. Know me. Fear me. Serve me. Right? Worship me. Enjoy me. A God. That's why you have a God. It's wonderful to catch that. Just to internalize it here. Let's you. I am the Lord. Right? The only one. Thy God that took care of you and will take care of you and has taken care of you and will keep taking care of you. And he says, love me. Love me. Have no other gods. Have no other gods. Just love me. Have no other gods before me. And these are the gods that we have. Don't forget this. He's God. He is source. But he is light. Let it become real and personal. Don't just let it be, he's the king. No, he's my king. He's the protector. I can trust him. He's my advocate. He's going to go between me and God and do my case, my lawyer. And he's going to declare me forgiven. He's my hope. He's my strength. He's my source. He's my sanctifier, my deliverer, my father, my judge, my rock. My comforter, my counselor, my foundation, my keeper, my shepherd, my author, my healer, my peace giver, my light. That's why you have a God. Let's read this together. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Woo! That's why we have a God. Isaiah 41:13. I trust you know that. And then you experience it. I was reading this week, you can't have a testimony without a test. I like that. You can't have a testimony without a test. You got to have a test first. And then God comes through. Is that right? That's why you have a God. Lean on him. Trust him. He will hold you up. Don't go without him. So many times in America, we have enough. We have all the stuff. We have all the riches. We have everything. We got water. We got everything. You know, how much do you really need today? What are you going to do today that you really had to do to survive? Not much. Thus, we don't need him very much. We think we don't. Do we need him? I was at a place yesterday where a man fell on the ground and died right there. It was heavy. And you realize, wow. All those people needed God badly right there. He died right there. They covered him up. I seen his hand laying on the ground. He died. And you say, wow. Don't wait till you die to need God. I need God to be happy and joyful and strengthened and hope-filled every day. All day. Do 100 things go wrong every day? Yeah. That's why you got a God. Do 100 things go right? That's why you got a God. You either should be praying or what? Praising. That's why you got a God. He is my God. He is the God. But He's mine. He's yours. He's ours. Isn't that great? Lord Jesus, thank You for the first commandment. It's the best. Because we can know Him and love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, bring that to reality and everyday realism in our lives this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.